This is not going to be a pleasant experience. You're going to see and hear things that are not going to be very nice.
Experts divide serial killing into two general types, organized and disorganized. An organized killer brings everything he needs to complete the murder. A disorganized killer improvises.
Begin. Listener discretion is advised.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The mother of a Michigan high school shooter who killed 4 and wounded 7 was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Jennifer Crumbly is the first parent in U.S. history to be charged and tried for their role in a mass school shooting. This landmark ruling could have major repercussions for how these cases are prosecuted in United States courts in the future. Let's listen to today's headline, courtesy of WNEM Channel 5, Michigan.
This conviction marks the first time in U.S. history that a parent has been held criminally responsible for the criminal acts of their child in a mass school shooting. We asked Genesee County Prosecutor David Layton about today's conviction and how it could impact similar cases in the future.
This is the beginning of what could be more prosecutions against parents for the criminal actions of their children.
Today, we are talking with legal analyst Josh Ritter about the case, what this could mean for future cases related to school shootings, and the parents of those that commit these violent and horrific crimes.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
Hi, Josh. So nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Candace. So good to see you. Thank you for having me back.
We're going to be talking about the trial of Jennifer Crumbly, the mother of Ethan Crumbly, who a couple of years ago shot and killed 4 classmates. So give us some background. What is happening here?
Ethan Crumbly walked into his school in late 2021. He brought a handgun with him, a handgun that was purchased by his parents. That's going to become important to the rest of our conversation. But he opened up fire and killed 4 students at his high school. And it was another tragedy that we're experiencing far too often. But where this case distinguishes itself and why we're talking about it today is that not only was Ethan Crumbly charged with these murders, but his parents were both charged with involuntary manslaughter for their role in the deaths of these 4 victims. And it's different because it's the first time we've ever seen parents held responsible for the actual killing. This is the prosecution actually alleging that their actions, or more importantly, failure to act, led to these deaths.
It's the first time the parents have been charged with involuntary manslaughter. They didn't pull the trigger, but they could have prevented the trigger from being pulled. Do you think this is possibly a precedent is being set because people, maybe parents on juries, can say, all right, government's not going to do anything. What about this? What are your thoughts?
A lot of questions are swirling around, you know, both the legal community and parents alike as to what does this mean beyond this verdict. And it's all against that backdrop, as you point out, that we are so frustrated that these shootings keep happening and we want something done to stop them. So everyone understands the efforts being made to try to hold people accountable and to try to say something more needs to be done to stop these shootings. The question becomes then, is that now going to extend after this point to parents? And what does that mean? And should parents now be on notice that they have to do more than what they have been doing to try to prevent their children if they're going to do something awful? And how are parents supposed to have the foresight to understand that's a possibility? So it really is an important case because of all those questions that it's asking.
What happened in particular? This wasn't a simple story of a teenage boy whose parents bought him a gun and he got mad and did something horrible. There were some really interesting, I would say, flaming, hot, burning red flags. So what were some of those that the parents are being held responsible for not acting on?
You're absolutely right. This case did distinguish itself because the facts were so egregious. And I think that in part is one of the reasons why it was the first case to have these kind of charges. First, the purchasing of the gun. I think that was a pivotal fact as to why the prosecution brought this case. It wasn't just that they had a troubled child, but you have a troubled child and then you purchase a deadly weapon for them that they have access to. But then there's also his mental health. And there was a lot of evidence presented about how, like you said, blaring red flags that he was signaling towards his parents, talking about things like committing acts of violence.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hallucinating about the house being haunted, feeling like no one was listening to him. Both text messages that he had sent to other students, his diary, all of these things were entered into evidence, which shows the history of a very troubled young man who appears to have been asking for help and certainly not getting it from his parents.
So both of his parents were charged with involuntary manslaughter. 4 counts, 1 for each child who was murdered. And the reason for that was they purchased a gun for their child who the prosecution says was in a mental health crisis. Were they able to prove that the parents knew that he was hallucinating?
There was a significant amount of evidence presented to talk about his mental state, a lot of disturbing things that the parents were aware of. Jennifer Crumbly testified in this case, and she was asked about a lot of that. And some of her answers were understandable, but other things she didn't have as great an answer to, you know, when it came more down to it looks like he was crying for help and feeling like he wasn't being heard. Are there things they could have done about his mental health? Yes. But where all of this changed is when you introduce the gun. You have a child with mental health issues, you're not getting him proper treatment, and on top of all of that, you provide him with a weapon, and there's no evidence that you had that weapon secured properly. That was another big point,
yeah.
Is that if Jennifer Crumbly could have pointed to the fact that she knew that weapon was always locked in a safe and I'm the only one with the key type of a situation, I don't think we would be sitting here today talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she was not able to say how that weapon was secured properly is just one of those facts that the prosecution highlighted to the jurors, and I think what the jurors looked at when coming to their verdict.
There were some other things that definitely hurt Jennifer's case, and one of them, as I recall, there were texts going on that day between Ethan and his mother. Let's talk about that.
There's one text in particular that the prosecution really highlighted, and that is a text where, and this is goes back to the incident where he was caught at school searching for ammunition. And his mother sent him a text along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, of, I'm not mad, but you got to be smart and don't get caught. LOL.
LOL. Oh my, Jennifer. You know, can you blame the jury?
Yeah.
Seriously?
At that point, it goes beyond kind of this defense of, I'm a busy parent. I'm trying to do my best. I didn't know he was up to this kind of thinking.
Yeah,
and then saying,
exactly.
Just don't get caught shows a cavalier indifference towards his attitude. But it was one of several instances that the prosecution was able to highlight for the jury that showed these weren't parents that entirely had their hands full and didn't know what was going on, but they were also parents that kind of didn't really care so much about what was going on.
You referenced this session, let's call it a counseling session, and Ethan's parents were called in to school after the teacher noticed these disturbing drawings of guns and whatnot. And after less than 15 minutes, Jennifer and James say, we've got to go. We've got to go back to work. If I'm on the jury, I'm thinking, how serious does something have to be for you to understand how serious it is?
Yeah. And I think that a lot of the jurors reacted the same way to that as you did. And, you know, we're talking about really serious stuff. He's talking about, you know, drawing pictures of guns and people looking like they've been shot. This is not something to be taken lightly, mm-hmm. and it certainly deserves a little more of your attention and time, and knowing that he does have access to a gun on top of all of this.
Just for me, Josh, this is one of those cases that comes under the someone has to pay doctrine,
yeah.
And it's going to be who's ever sitting at the defendant's table.
I will say I was a little shocked. I thought that the jurors might struggle over this one. I thought that we could easily see this one end up in a hung jury because it is a case where we've never really asked this question before. And as a father, I completely agree with you. Somebody needs to be held responsible for this. As a lawyer, I started to think we're holding people responsible for the independent actions of others. And that's where I start to wring my hands a little bit, because at mm-hmm. what point do we say that stops? Are we creating a precedent here that we don't really have a clear delineated line as to where that ends? The reverberations from this verdict, I think, are going to be talked about for some period of time. And like I said, mm-hmm. there's still the trial of Crumbly's father that's going to take place later this year. So we may be still talking about this.
This trial was landmark, and interesting things are going to be happening because of it. Do you think this conviction will have a deterrent effect, meaning that parents are going to start being more mindful?
I don't know if it's going to have a deterrent effect on parents, but I think you will absolutely see an effect in the way that schools deal with parents. I think that, yes, this puts parents on notice, but I think it also signals to schools that, hey, people beyond the shooter are going to start to be held responsible for these things. And so I think the repercussions from this case are definitely going to be felt far and wide. But I think it might be a sad state of affairs to say that parents, I don't know if they will change their behavior, but I think they certainly should be looking at this to see whether or not they are involved in their children's lives enough.
You'll get no argument from me. Great talking to you, Josh. See you soon.
Thanks so much. Take care.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.